I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
Is it the policy of the DOJ to provide advance notice to subjects before conducting a search for evidence?
It totally depends on the circumstance.
If the circumstance were that you had a guest house where the U.S. attorney, deputy U.S. attorney, saying, "Well, we know that we suspect there's a lot of evidence there, but we're not going to really follow that up. And calls the attorney from the other side saying, "We were going to do a search warrant." Would that be consistent with your policy?
Look, again, I know this is no hypothetical, and I don't know the facts of this case, and I don't know what happened, and I believe the events you're talking about, as reported in the press, occurred under the previous administration. So,
No, that event didn't happen under the previous administration. Let's talk about that. I mean, you keep saying this happened under the previous administration.
See, there you have the perfect response from Democrats anytime they're caught in something that is their doing. Wash your hands of it, Pontius Pilate. It happened under Trump, the guy everybody hates, or they want you to think everybody hates. And plenty do. So they get traction when it comes to the state-controlled media. But we do not let that go unchallenged here anymore. Then you heard then from Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs as he was questioning Attorney General Garland. No. You always say it happens under the other administration. On one hand, he's indicating, and we're going to hear this more detail, he's suggesting, "I know nothing, I see nothing, I hear nothing, but I know it wasn't on my watch." Liar, liar, pants on fire. Here we go again. All right, thank you again for joining us. This is the first of 2 hours, back-to-back. Larry Connors, USA. Glad to have you with us. Reminding you, while we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter. Actually, both. And News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter. Again, both. You have a lot of platforms in addition to Rumble. And on podcasts, I opened up a podcast unit the other day, and boom, there was Larry Connors on one of the most recent events we did. I would just encourage you to have others, your friends, your family, relatives, like spirits, get in line, start watching, listening, send them copies, tell them they can subscribe for free, cost them nothing. We'll send it direct to them. They won't miss anything. And we do not sell your information. And then I would also say, and I love this part. I love it. Send copies to your enemies. Oh, they may never watch it. Or they'll watch enough to make some noise and critique in some way. I could care less. But at least they're getting the truth if they would pay attention. You know the way I do this is based upon 40-plus years as a news anchor. So I have still the basic fabric. I'm going to be fair with you. I always give you opposing sides. I give you sources for material. So you can check it out yourself. I don't ever ask anyone to follow me blindly because I will not follow anyone blindly. And therein, I do think we have an issue on both sides of the political party. Some are willing to just follow Joe Biden. If he walks into a sea of sharks, he's going that way, that's where we're going. Even Democrats are saying, "No, I don't think so." And some Republicans are willing to follow Trump regardless of what he says and where he goes. I will not do that. And I encourage you not to. I'm not saying that you cannot accept some of his ideas. You look at what he did to the country. This is the first time in history we've had two presidents running against each other serving only 4 years in office, and you can see the difference in how they handle the economy and everything else. This is the first time. Now, you have to admit, where you are now economically compared to where you were this time in the end of Trump's term, or actually a little more than halfway through going into the new election, I know there was all kinds of noise about Russian collusion, this, da, da, blah, 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 blah. But your income was much better. Jobs were available, and the lowest on the rung, the minority groups who often get cut out of jobs, their unemployment rate really went down under Trump. If you remember, he told the black members of America, he said, why don't you give me a chance? What do you got to lose? They haven't done a damn thing for you. And that's a fact. All right, so let's go back to the hearing that spent a lot of time Wednesday on, and again yesterday, and rightly so. But there were so many different pieces of it, we couldn't get it all in one day, even a second day. That's why I was wanting you to hear from Andy Biggs, because Andy Biggs, as you just heard, raising a question to A.G. Garland, what is your policy? And you've got Garland, he's not going to be direct if he can avoid it. And yet he knows the essence of the question. He knows where it's going, and he does not want to step in the trap. Andy Biggs.
You keep saying, I don't know what happened there, but I'm going to opine when it happened. Do you see the fallacy of that, the inconsistencies? I don't know when it happened. I don't know what happened because I'm not involved, but it happened under the previous administration. That's so logically fallacious.
I'm sorry, I'm not following what's
Yeah, I know you're not following.
It.
So
yeah.
So the question is, you've got one of your deputy U.S. attorneys calling the attorney on this side saying, look, we're going to go to these two places, probably go in the next couple of days. And, of course, then ultimately the search warrant is called off. Is that, I just want to know, is it consistent to call up people and where you know that they've got boxes of information or you suspect they have boxes of information? That's why you got the warrant. That's why you're going to go look. And you give them a heads up so they can move those boxes of information. Would that be consistent with DOJ policy?
I'm just going to say again, you're asking me actually to comment about allegations in a particular case about...
I'm not. I'm asking you, is that consistent with your overall policy?
It's a policy question. We're not talking about a specific case. A policy question. He cannot answer a policy question. Because then it would show they violated the policy. Garland finally, the time is up for Congressman Lee. So Garland says, well, I still have a statement. I want to answer that question. I'm going to let you hear the answer because we're going to be fair. You tell me, do you hear anything that really answers the basic question?
No policy on this question. The strategy and tactics to be used to preserve evidence are left up to the investigators and offices on the ground. Sometimes it would be a serious mistake to call up. Sometimes
it would not. Here, once again, you don't know what happened in the Hunter Biden case because that's somebody else is doing it. But you can be sure of the timing of when all this took place. That is one of the biggest oddities of your testimony today.
That is a very nice way of saying one of the biggest damn lies you put in front of this committee. He called it an oddity. Let's give credit to Arizona Congressman Biggs for being more polite than I would be. Meanwhile, the Biden open border policy continues to destroy America. American cities on the front line, actually at the border. Every city, every state is considered a border city now. But those who are actually on what was our border, they are right in the midst of it. And El Paso, run by a Democrat mayor, is admitting Biden is failing the nation and his city.
Thousands of people coming into the country through Piedras Negras, which is the Mexican counterpart, into Eagle Pass, and we just can't sustain thousands of people coming in. We're a city of approximately 28,000 people. To have that amount of people roaming our streets, it's unacceptable. We have a limited resources, limited police force, fire, EMS. So it's disappointing to see all these people come in without a consequence. That's kind of what gets me. They're coming in kind of like a come one, come all kind of situation. And it's very disheartening to see this happening, especially here in the city of Eagle Pass.
Do you reach out to anyone in Washington, to the White House, to Homeland Security for help?
I've reached out to our representatives. I've been in touch with our congressman, Tony Gonzalez. He's done very good things for Eagle Pass. I've been in touch with the state, with DPS, the governor's office. They have been helpful to Eagle Pass by sending in additional help. We need all the help we can get.
Well, da-da-da-da, here they come, Superman, Mayorkas. The Department of Homeland Security is now doing a border reset again. They're going to add more troops to facilitate. They're not going to use troops to keep people from entering. They're going to use them to help process. Mayorkas has to acknowledge, after seeing nearly 7,000 migrants come across in one day in the El Paso sector, Border Patrol agents trying to arrest them. Arresting just means, sit down over here, will you please, while we process you. That's the arrest. But they're swamping the shores. The Department of Homeland Security responding to the shutoff, the standoff, by shutting down lanes at the official border crossing and shifting personnel to deal with the squatting migrants, as it's written. Activating 800 active duty department troops from the Defense Department. And, of course, vowing to expand a speedy deportation program for illegal immigrant families to deter others. They're not going to be doing that. What they do is, when they process them, they give them appliance to go inside the U.S., and a little application says you will have a court date. One of them we read yesterday was in June 2025. You won't even be able to find them come June 2025. That's what they're going to try to do, and they're going to indicate that that's going to be things better. And, in fact, they're also introducing photo ID cards. I mentioned this to you yesterday. Government-issued photo ID cards, which will include a photo, a QR code, personal information usually found on a driver's license, making it easier for migrants to have to carry around a bunch of documents. Now they just have this ID card. Say, I got the ID card. So you go about the country as you will. And we are asking you to come back to court April the 25th to decide if you're really an asylum seeker. Fat chance. This is all the making of the Biden administration, and the Democrats have been fed up with it all the way up to New York City with Mayor Eric Adams. And Mayor Salinas of El Paso says it is not working.
The safety, but also the local and state economy.
You know, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas says there's not a crisis going on. The administration does not seem particularly alarmed by what's been happening. How do you feel about that?
Whoever says that there's not a crisis going on is 100% that's not true. It is obvious. I'm telling you, as a mayor of the city, there is a crisis. What's happening here is not normal. That this shouldn't happen in any city in the United States, because we're a nation of laws. People should be able to come here legally. We're all for that. I'm sure everybody agrees. But to have thousands of people come in without consequence, that should not be allowed in the United States. And again, I'm just disappointed.
He should be disappointed. Every Democrat who voted to have open borders is regretting it. But many are too frightened to say it. They don't want to be canceled. Woke culture, you know. The Customs Acting Commissioner of the Customs and Border Protection, Mark Morgan, said, Americans and migrants are dying every day as a result of this administration's open borders. And what is their response? Secure the border? Enforce the law? Protect the people from fentanyl pouring across the border? Nope. Instead, let's provide those who are violating the rule of law, adding instability to our borders, official government documents, the little ID card, rather than deter the flow of illegal immigrants. They make it easier to expedite their release into the country following their illegal entry. And again, back to the mayor of El Paso, Salinas, this is not common sense.
I don't know what the president is thinking, but it's obvious that there's no consequence to thousands of people coming into the United States of America. It's disappointing that we live in an age where this is happening right now in the border and here in Eagle Pass, because Eagle Pass is a great city. I'm very proud to be the mayor of the city of Eagle Pass, and at the same time, I'm disappointed that the government is letting this happen.
And you know, we mentioned, and I didn't mean casually mentioning, about how we're having those die, Americans and border crossers. Americans dying because once they get in here, they bring fentanyl, they end up killing Americans. Or they kill Americans in drunk driving crashes, or they kill them just because they have something they want. Common thugs. And then you have the tragedies of those because they are convinced, if I could just get to America, I'll be better off. There are those, no doubt, in the midst that want a better life. Everybody would like a better life. But our immigration process is not built upon you can have a better life here. It's also built upon what can you contribute. And most of those coming across now, uneducated, no family, which means they might also be military age. They're coming from other countries like China to form a fifth column behind our lines and be ready to attack, or other terrorists. They're not contributing anything. You know, if you go to Canada and you want to go through and become a Canadian, you must prove what you're going to bring to Canada to help, not just come suck off the government teat. But when it comes to death, I'm looking at some of these here. One was the body of a man, a migrant, they call him. He's illegal. Found under the water a couple hundred yards north of the Eagle Pass Marine Barrier. That's the one they put up trying to keep people from swimming under the buoys and getting over it. No identification, but no doubt he's a migrant. Then you have a three-year-old boy as his family tried to cross the Rio Grande. He got separated from them, got caught up in the current. Troopers got him to the shore. They got in to get him out, but he's pronounced dead at the hospital. And it's all because Biden says the border is open. Coming up next in this segment, the chaos at the borders, according to my next guest, is no accident. We'll explain that. And in our second hour, a congresswoman says our government currently is being run like the KGB, and she would know. And Speaker Tim Jones from Tim Jones and Christopher Arps will be joining us. We've got a lot to cover over the next hour. And the next hour, lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest we've had on before, been a long time, glad to have him back on board, and that would be John Daniel Davidson with the Federalist. John, welcome aboard again, sir.
Good having me.
Well, John is the senior editor of the Federalist, and I'm looking at this article you put out the other day, and I love the title. It's no accident, the southern border collapsing, it's intentional. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, seeing a really in Eagle Pass, Texas, and in other places along the U.S.-Mexico border this week, 10,000 people in a 24-hour period were arrested. That doesn't count the people who got away.
Right.
45,000 arrested in a five-day period this week. That's unprecedented. There's no way for Customs and Border Protection to process or detain even just being released almost immediately into the United States. The border isn't just open, it's collapsing. And what I'm arguing is that that is the policy of the Biden administration. It's not an accident.
Well, on top of that, they're not being vetted whatsoever. We have no idea who's really coming in, do we?
No. I mean, people need to understand the scale, like what it would mean in a place like Eagle Pass, Texas, population 28,000, for 45,000 people to go through there in 5 days. It's total chaos. The only thing Border Patrol can do is make sure that people get safely up onto the north bank of the Rio Grande, write their name down, and send them on their way. There's no way to detain them.
You know, before you joined us, we were using some sound from the mayor of El Paso talking about, you know, it's been a chaos and Biden is not helping. Although the DHS Secretary, suddenly Mayorkas, were sending another 800 troops down to help process, they're not stopping them from coming in. Process. Right now, they say they arrest them. That just means sit over there on the bank till we finish getting your name.
Yeah, exactly. So the policy of the Biden administration, when President Biden and the Biden White House say that they have done more to secure the border than anyone, the White House spokesperson said that last week.
Yeah.
What they mean by secure the border is not what you or I would mean. What they mean is they are processing people in an efficient way and releasing them into the interior of the country.
Oh, great.
They are not trying to deter people. They're not trying to deport people. They're not trying to slow the flow of illegal immigrants. They're trying to efficiently manage mass illegal immigration. That's what they mean. That's the policy.
What they said, though, is it'd be easier for us to quickly deport. Have they been doing any deportation?
No, there's no deportations going on. ICE, very soon after Biden took office, ICE was essentially ordered to stand down, to cease all deportations except for people who were deemed to be dangerous criminals or felons on the lam. Actual enforcement of deportations from the interior of the country, which is what ICE mostly does, has trickled to almost a standstill. So there is no deportations going on. The policy, the actions of the Biden administration reveal the true policy, and the true policy is mass illegal immigration.
John, I know you've spent a lot of time on the border yourself because we've talked numerous times over the years, but now, of course, yeah, we have ICE coming out with a secure docket card with a photo, a QR code, personal information like you'd find on a driver's license, which then they can carry about, still a bunch of papers, as they travel about the country. And then they'll be given a court date, maybe, in fact, we had one yesterday, June 25. What are the odds they're going to be found or even show up June 25?
Almost non-existent. These people know that they do not have, for the most part, they know they don't have valid claims under U.S. asylum law. They're not coming here to win a case in immigration court and gain asylum status. They're coming here to work and send money home to their families and their communities. And that's essentially what this ID card does. It legitimizes their presence here. It's a pathway to legal work authorization. And it's essentially a workaround to the normal process. You know, when someone crosses the border illegally between a port of entry, and for anyone who's been down there, you know, the border, that's rough country. You have to put forth a great amount of effort to cross the U.S.-Mexico border between a port of entry. You know what you're doing is illegal. It's hard to do, and you have to pay criminal organizations in Mexico in order to do it. So all these people know that they're breaking the law, and they're doing it because of the promise of significantly greater earnings in the United States. They are, by every measure... Economic migrants.
Are they being sold into slavery, sex slavery, sex dens, and they're being brought across as family members when they're really turning them over to sex fiends across the nation?
Yes, that's right. And a lot of those people, they don't start out, you know, that's something that they are caught up in along the way. That's not something they set out to do. But yes, you're right. A lot of them are caught up in sex trafficking and human trafficking. But the vast majority of them who are getting across the Rio Grande, are economic migrants. They're coming here to work, and they are paying very close attention. They study with an almost academic attention changes to U.S. policy. So you can be guaranteed that they all know about the new ICE ID cards and who's getting work authorization and who's not.
And at the same time, even if you make it across the desert of Mexico and get to the border, getting across the border, a 45-year-old man found dead the other day, probably couldn't get across the Texas buoy, which the court's trying to take down. A 3-year-old girl found drowned downriver, got separated from her family. They're risking life and limb, and pretty much the cartel just abandons them. Good luck with it. Sends them into the country without any water in some cases.
That's because in most cases, the cartel's already been paid. They don't care what happens to these people. I mean, the scale of what's happening down there, people have to understand, these cartels are, they're bad guys. They're really bad guys. And the organizations that they run are very powerful, and they're making hundreds of billions of dollars off of illegal immigration. Every single person who crosses the border has been trafficked. Every single one. They are all being trafficked by the cartels. They're paying. They are not in control of their destiny once they reach these cities in northern Mexico. And the cartels are essentially in control of the border and profiting off of it. So, of course, if someone's, you know, the cartels are happy to leave people for dead if they can't go on. They absolutely don't care. It's a humanitarian crisis.
We had a time in this country, a bracero program, where we would allow them to come across, work the fields, and they had to go back a period of time. And then you had Eisenhower come in and deport about 1.5 million under what they called Operation Wetback, which I know is politically incorrect for a lot of people right now, but that's what it was called. Trump has said, I'm going to do the same thing. I'll be deporting them left and right. And they're realizing we better get inside before maybe he does win election.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we saw what happened as soon as Biden won election. Illegal crossing surged within a month of Biden taking office. So, you know, these migrants pay attention to U.S. policy. They know the differences between a Democratic administration and a Republican, or at least a Trumpian administration. And, you know, and every single person who gets across is communicating to their family and to their community back home that they made it, that they got in. And oftentimes they're saying, you know, send everybody else. Like, right. It's a good time to come. We can get in. And I mean, that's why you've seen so many people from some of these countries, millions of people from Venezuela have entered the country in the last 5 years or so. And that's part of the reason.
150 different nations. You've got a clip you were referring to of comedian Louis C.K. On the Joe Rogan show acting like opening the border is a good thing, you know, and the libs are loving it. I have yet to see a single lib invite any migrant family, as they want to call them, as opposed to illegal, to spend time in their house and share bedrooms with their children. I haven't seen them open up their homes. I haven't seen the governors of blue states open up the mansions or the mayors of the blue cities.
No, and you won't, because leftists and elite ruling class Democrats are always insulated from the policies that they impose on ordinary Americans, whether it's defunding the police or opening the border. They are not affected by it personally. It's the rest of us, ordinary Americans, who have to suffer.
You quote Louis C.K. saying, "I can't fathom why Americans have a say about who comes in the country, who doesn't." What the hell? I mean, is he serious?
Well, as I say in my piece, his comments perfectly capture the liberal globalist ideology and mindset, where Louis C.K. And Biden and Secretary Mayorkas and all of these folks, they cannot imagine why they would prefer their neighbors, their fellow citizens, their communities to foreigners. And they don't really believe that we should have borders or have nations, or that we should do anything to preserve our way of life in the United States, and to craft policies that advantage U.S. citizens first and prioritize their needs. They don't believe in those things. And so that's where they're coming from, which is why you see these insane policies. Like, why would you want mass illegal immigration? Well, because you're using it as a tool for other things and you don't really care what it does to the country.
And again, where are they when opening their homes and, as they say in Hilton, Hollywood, lowering the gate over the moat and saying, "Hey, come camp out on our yard, or we can put 20 families in our 5-car garage and they'll be better off than anywhere else." Do you see them doing that anywhere?
No, and they won't. Look, make no mistake, the global globalist, managerial, liberal elite Democrats, they don't care about these migrants at all, because right, their policies are deeply cruel and inhumane. It is the Biden administration's policies that are causing untold amounts of suffering at the U.S.-Mexico border. You hear the corporate media talk about how cruel Trump was for shutting down the border and making people wait in Mexico. In fact, the effect of Trump's policies was much more compassionate than what we have under Biden.
Absolutely. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist, is always glad to have you on board, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Coming up, Biden does another gaffe. No surprise there, but at the same time, you're thinking, is he that clueless? Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You would have to be absolutely, and I will, well, I was going to say, I will apologize if I make you feel this way, but you'd have to be stupid not to realize what's happening at our border and who's responsible for it. There, I said it. If you're one of the stupids, so be it. You know, you have to keep in mind not just the deaths that are occurring at the border, but the fentanyl that's being drugged into the country and basically going to destroy and has destroyed lives all over the nation. And then you got those who are dying trying to get across into the country. And you have to ask over and over again, I mean, is this really what we want? And you have to, at the same time, say there is no way. Do you want to bring illegal drugs where they could be given off to your children who might be experimenting? Maybe you did in the past. Maybe they're smoking a joint for the first time. I will be honest with you. I'm sure many have done that at some point before it was legal. But the issue now is, of course, one, it's illegal. But secondly, if they're not of age, they can't get it. So some friend gets it to them, and they may not know where they got it. And they may not know it's laced with fentanyl to give them a little extra high or to kill them. One time they use it, and it kills them. I don't know how you explain that to anyone who says that's acceptable. You don't. You're putting our children at risk. You're putting many others at risk. And fentanyl is so deadly, every time they do a search and they think they've encountered fentanyl, they have to really watch the police officers for a while. And some of the canine units, they are often most exposed because they're sniffing it out. And they have to be given Narcan to keep them alive because it's that fast acting. I don't think some of you still get it. I'm sorry, but I don't think you do. You know, you've been in restaurants and there are little packets of sugar or saccharin, the sweetener there on the table. You take one of those little packets and you open up those grains and you take three or four of the little grains, just moisten your fingertip, put it down on it, and then put that in your mouth. That would be equivalent, if it were fentanyl, to killing not only you, those three grains, but maybe 30 or more. Oh, but you might get away with it. You know, you might be fine. It didn't bother me. I'm good. Until you're not. And unfortunately, kids experiment a lot. We all know that. You were a kid at one time. You know that there are times that, I know your mom said, I guess if Johnny jumped off the ledge, you would too. Yeah. I wouldn't have. And then, of course, a kid gets a broken neck and things change for a time. Every generation comes along with the same attitude. Parents don't know anything. They are so stupid. But ironically, parents get smarter when kids go off to college. Suddenly they realize they didn't know what they were talking about. And then in turn, when they're trying to raise their own children, they often duplicate the very thing that their parents were doing to them. Not uncommon at all. Oh, I remember it. Why can't I have a piece of candy? And it was always because I say so. And I thought in my head, I'm never going to do that with my kids. I will never say because I say so. I'll give them a reason for something. I'm not just going to say I say so. That's not good enough. And the first time I encountered something like that in real life where I am supposedly the adult, with a child, and they want something done, and I'm fed up with putting up with their harassment and constant asking, because I say so. And it hit me in the head like a 2x4. Damn! I just said the same thing I told them not to. But you do. By the way, Joe Biden's numbers and Trump are so closely tied right now, they're clearly saying it is wide open if Trump wins. And at this point, Trump continues to run away with the numbers in the primary. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Speaker Tim Jones, former House representative, and of course has the program on with Christopher Arps before we come to air. And I want to get Tim's take on where it stands in his view and how the Republicans are basically, at this point, shooting themselves in the foot. We do not have a budget, and Congress is adjourned for the weekend. That means we're going to move closer to a, quote, government shutdown, and some don't care. And I'm one of those who says, so be it. I mean, it won't stop the nation from operating. And we got way too many people employed in government now anyway. If you're looking to cut some, we got something like 125,000 just inside the Treasury IRS department. 125,000, and they're adding more. Well, then who could take over for Biden if, speculation increasing, he will not run? It's not going to be Kamala. And that's going to cause an upset issue for them. Both parties at this point are destroying themselves by unforced errors. Well, actually, the Democrats started there simply by putting Biden in office. And everything that's happened since, you can only explain it away so many times. KJP can stand up there as, remember, the first black transgender woman to hold the office of the White House press secretary. If that's her qualification, she met all those boxes. Beyond that, not so much. But I want to share this with you, and as I said, we'll talk about it with Senator Jones later. I already made him a senator. I did the other day in a joke, and I think I got his attention pretty good when I called him a senator. I said, are you thinking about it now that I brought it up to you? But anyway, Tim Jones, I'll raise this issue because Senator Ted Cruz is now claiming Democrats could. Are you ready for this? Before I say it, if you're driving your car, slow down, please. Maybe get off to the edge of the roadway if you can. I do not want to cause a major wreck, because what I'm going to say next is going to put some people over the top. And that would include Democrats, by the way. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is claiming, are you ready? He's already suggested, and others have, there might be a supermajority elected to come up with a candidate anyway. They would not be Biden, so they would bypass the normal process. But Senator Cruz is claiming Democrats could parachute Michelle Obama in as a presidential nominee. He said, I think the scenario is perhaps the most likely and most dangerous. August 2024, the Democrat kingmakers jettison Joe Biden and parachute in Michelle Obama. And I view this a very serious danger. That's what he said in his podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz. We'll see. We do know when it comes to Joe Biden, you don't think the man can make any more mistakes. You don't think he can. But then he gets to a new event, and he shows up at the new event, and he can't even remember which event he's at, or he ignores them, or he demeans the other. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, once again, Joe Biden, clueless.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, County Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Lessons based on the Gospel of Matthew, feed the hungry, care for the sick, welcome strangers. They echo what my dad taught me, and I mean this sincerely. My dad used to say, everyone is entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. The Congressional Black Caucus embodies all those values.
Well, that was nice, and you could say they embody all those values, but President Biden, you were not speaking to the Congressional Black Caucus. You were speaking to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus at the time. And I'm sure they're looking at each other. Where's the Black Caucus? Are you black? No, I'm brown. Are you black? No, I'm brown. Who's he talking about? That is the 80-year-old's mishap at the Congressional Hispanic Caucus 46th Annual Gala in D.C. And that is not the first he's made in recent days. That's his third gaffe in two different days. Now, the other part of the issue is, once he finishes his speech and brings in the word peso at some point to try to save himself, get some applause, when he's done, he shakes hand with the guy that invited him and is serving as a toastmaster, I guess. But then the Brazilian president, known as Lula, joins him at the fundraiser, and the president, he even walks toward President Biden with his hand extended to shake hands with him after Biden shook hands with the presenter, and Biden turns around and walks off, leaves him standing there looking at his hand. He drops his hand and walks off, and he did not look happy. Let me put it that way. So I have a question for you, and I could have answered this long ago, and I think you could have. We already suspected it would happen. When OpenAI came out with its AI chat box, ChatGPT, how do you think it was going to be used for the most part? Well, it's going to figure out a faster way to get to Mars? It'll figure out, what's beyond our universe. It'll figure out ways to cure cancer. You know where they're finding the most use when you document actual usage? Timetable tells you everything. ChatGPT usage was rocking along pretty good until summer, this last summer. And suddenly, not too many people are interested in using ChatGPT. Wonder why? I know the reason. I think many of you can guess it. Because summer months, kids are not in school. And when they go back to school, SimilarWeb, which tracks weekly visits to ChatGPT, found traffic to the website up strongly since schools reopened. In other words, kids are using ChatGPT to cheat. It's not just an issue, and it's not just an issue for OpenAI either, but if the kids are doing this, what are they really learning? That would be nothing except how to use ChatGPT or GPT Talk, whatever it is. Now, supposedly they're going to put flags on the information printed out from GPT so you would be able to tell it was done by artificial intelligence rather than the kids' artificial intelligence, if any. Then it's not going to help our country. I would guarantee you right now, the Chinese are not allowing their kids to use it. And if they're found evidence that they're using it, their schooling days are over. Back to the rice paddies, if not somewhere else. We're going to have kids cheating on their exams. And not just kids, but college students, medical students. At one point, it's going to come back to bite you in the arse. Because your doctor, I got my degree through ChatGPT. Good. Find a client. A patient who is willing to deal with you, not me. And, of course, then we have folks who complain and then you really look into their complaint, you realize the issue is them. There's a New York columnist who went to a restaurant, 1911 Smokehouse Barbecue. Never been there, but sounded pretty good. And he said, man, I was really enjoying good food and everything else, but then I realized my bar tab, I mean, not my bar tab, but my food tab, when the total thing came back, it was, good God, how much money am I paying for this thing? $66? Well, others noted that if you look at the food bill, you spent $12 on food, the rest on alcohol, buddy. So your food would have only cost you $12 if you drink water. Note to myself. He said, I thought I was just getting a cheeseburger and a double whiskey. Apparently he ordered two doubles of whiskey costing $28 and $29. Because he had the air travel, the airport, which are always going to travel, cost you more. Oh, and someone else noted, by the way, the tip he left. $82 for the food and drinks. He left a tip of zero. That pretty much describes a guy that thought he got ripped off anyway. He's a true zero. Coming up in the next hour, we will have Speaker Jim Jones join us and more. Remember our pledge.